listening to WRUU-LP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM. That's WRUU.org, Savannah Soundings, and we're community radio with Global Soul. Radio Hounds, welcome to 4 p.m. Grab your pots and pans, teacups, and hold on to your colanders because it's time for the Rock and Roll Cookbook, the show that keeps you awake with the songs that never sleep. I'm Audrey Hepburn here with Midnight Earl, the guru of rock and roll, on this beautiful Tuesday in this beautiful town. Wow, can't believe this is February. On the last cookbook, we paid homage to the unsung musicians of the legendary Motown record label, if any of you were listening. Today, we're giving a nod to the wonderful ones. Those are the artists who were one-hit wonders and only charted one song or only charted one song that anybody remembers was actually a hit. So we should note that these are one-hit wonders whose music is actually worth remembering. Earl, you were very careful to
These are some of the really good ones that live on in, like, movies and TV commercials and stuff. They have kind of taken on a life of their own. Yeah. You know, these are sort of classics. Some of these one-hit wonders are not the ones they're playing today, but in general, one-hit wonders are usually kind of lesser quality music.
Oh, that was so diplomatic of you,
Earl. I'm trying to
say it the right way.
We're
trying to find just the right words to describe it.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, it's all part
sometimes of our... Sometimes they're goofy. Sometimes they're novelty records. Sometimes, you know, it's not, you know, Layla by Derek and the Dominoes.
It all
it's
has
not
its
classics
place.
Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, it's all important to pop culture. But
the things
know.
We've picked out for today, I think, are really special.
Musically, yes, musically worth remembering, and maybe you'll remember them. And if you don't, then hey, it's a real treat today. So, let's see if you can guess the name of our first wonder from 1957. Let's hear it.
Just don't care, you'll know why if you see what I wear. Black slacks, take 14 black slacks, really are clean black slacks. Make a cool daddy-o, when I put them on I'm ready to go. Man, you ought to see me with my derby on, I know that you would say he's gone. Black slacks, mostly in the head. Black slacks, well that's what I said. Black slacks, I'm the cat's pajamas, cause I run around with crazy little mamas.
Pretty hard to do. That was Joe Bennett and the Sparkle Tones, and the song was called Black Slacks, in case you missed it.
Yes, that was co-written by Joe Bennett and Jimmy Denton. The song charted for 4 months, peaking at number 11 on the R&B chart and number 17 on the Billboard pop chart. I know of at least one cover by Robert Gordon from either the late 70s or early 80s. He was a guy who kind of did the rockabilly style music. Yeah, a little bit before the Stray Cats, but he was into that style and covered this song.
Cool. Okay. All right. Well, in our next song, the next two-hit wonder, actually, not a one-hit wonder, is an instrumental by a Brooklyn guitar duo, Santo and Johnny Farina. I believe they're brothers, right?
Yeah.
With their uncle, Mike D, playing the drums.
Yes. The song Sleepwalk was released in 1959. Its unusual sound comes from the combination of acoustic and pedal steel guitar. It was the last instrumental song in the decade, the 1950s, to reach number one on Billboard.
Oh, pretty cool. And they did have another hit, Teardrop, that charted at number 23. Santo and Johnny also recorded the theme to The Godfather. Interesting. And apparently that went gold. So, and here we go.
This is another one that's used repeatedly in movies.
Repeatedly in movies, yes. Sleepwalk, Santo and Johnny.
Okay.
Very nice. Sleepwalk by Santo and Johnny. And this is going to drive me crazy. If anybody knows the instrument, I mean, I think it's just an organ, not just an organ. It's really a nice organ. But I thought it was a theremin. I don't think so. I want to know what that instrument is. The very high, you know, the little high, that part. Maybe it was the organ. I don't know. Anyway, our next wonder is about a timeless subject. Wow. I wonder what that could be, Earl. Love. And how it can lead to addiction and madness.
Yes, the song is called Love is Strange, written by Bo Diddley, but published under his wife's name, Ethel Smith.
Apparently because of legal issues with the record label. Not sure.
His version is a call and response style, which is quite different from the version we will be playing from the 1956 release by Mickey Baker and Sylvia Robinson.
Now, although this is only the only hit for Mickey and Sylvia together, Sylvia actually charted a number three hit in 1973 with Pillow Talk, and more notably started Sugar Hill Records and formed the Sugar Hill Gang. who had the breakthrough hip-hop hit called Rapper's Delight. Hip-hop emerged from the New York City street music scene, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not going to give you the whole music history. That's for another show, and we will do another show.
Right.
Because that's an interesting part of American music history as well.
Yes, and Mickey Baker published a instructional guitar book, the Mickey Baker instructional guitar book. Jazz Method or something like that.
Oh, really?
And it's a classic of guitar instruction.
But it's jazz.
Literature, yes.
It's geared toward jazz guitar.
Yes.
Cool. I did not know that, Earl. Thank you. All right. So let's hear it. Love is Strange. Mickey and Sylvia. Use of percussion interacting with the guitar.
Yeah.
Anyway, Love is Strange, Mickey and Sylvia. Next we have a song with few words, which I guess qualifies as an instrumental.
Yeah.
Uses the phrase wipe out.
Yeah.
Which is also the song title.
Yeah. The group consisted of Jim Fuller on lead guitar, Robert Berryhill on rhythm guitar, Ron Wilson on drums, Jim Pesch on saxophone, and Pat Connolly on bass, known as the Safaris. The song charted at number 2 in the U.S. and number 5 in the U.K. on its original 1960 release and made it to number 16 when it was re-released in 1966.
Okay, so let me guess the genre. Surf rock.
Yes.
Ha! I knew it.
Yes. That was a big sub-genre. It wasn't just the Beach Boys. It was Jan and Dean. It was Dick Dale and...
Okay.
You know,
it's a very popular subgenre.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apart from the continuous surf rhythm, it is notable for Ron Wilson's drum solos, which become one of the most famous solo breaks ever played or recorded. And it was sort of like, that was the audition piece. If you wanted to be in a rock band and you were the drummer, you had to be able to play Wipeout.
You had to play Wipeout. All right. Well, the song opens with the sound of a 2x4 being cracked over a microphone. It also includes a witch laugh. I have no idea. They just wanted to play a joke, I guess, because they actually didn't expect the song to amount to much. Hey, weren't they surprised?
Yeah.
Originally, it was intended as a B-side of the single. In the end, the B-side ended up being a song called Surfer Joe, and Wipeout was the big hit. So here they are, Surfaris. Ron Wilson on the drums, Wipeout. I was going to say Whiteout.
Yeah.
It's like Whiteout.
Yeah, and listening to that, I was just thinking that that was probably the blueprint for the theme from Hawaii Five-O, which is a very similar sound.
Yes, indeed. All right, pretty cool. All right, so our next song was written by Robert Spencer of the doo-wop group The Cadillacs and recorded by singer Barbie Gay, released in 1956. And it featured a piano rhythm with a major saxophone solo and actually was an R&B hit that year. But the one we're going to be playing is by the Jamaican singer-songwriter Millie Small, who's just a joyous person. Such a great attitude. It was released in 1964 and has a very different shuffle, reggae, blue beat kind of style.
Yeah, and this is kind of interesting because it was sort of at the time of the British invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Some people also consider this song to be the first hit in the genre known as ska.
They had a big Jamaican population.
Yeah, which is a hybrid of American R&B and Caribbean music. So Millie herself apparently claimed the harmonica solo was played by Rod Stewart, but other sources claim it was either Pete Hogman or Jimmy Powell of the group The Fifth Dimensions, plural, which were active in the 60s and early 70s and did briefly include Rod Stewart.
Yeah. So, but actually, Rod Stewart, it's pretty certain that he did not play the harmonica solo in this, right? I mean, he even says he didn't play the harmonica solo. But anyway, it's kind of a unique sound and really a cool song. Anyway, if anybody knows who actually played the harmonica solo, and if it wasn't Pete Hogman or Jimmy Powell, please let us know. This is My Boy Lollipop with Miss Millie Small. My Boy Lollipop. I'm not really sure that qualifies as ska, but maybe it's definitely influenced by that whole genre. Anyway, cool. So this next song is called Concrete and Clay by the British pop group Unit 4 Plus 2, one of those groups with the weird names. There's a story behind that, but I'm not going to get into that right now. The song stayed at number one on the UK charts for 1 week. but it was a one-hit wonder. The origin of the name goes something like this. Oh, I am going to tell you about this. I researched this. In 1962, Brian Parker, who was then the guitar player and the songwriter with the Hunters, decided to form his own vocal harmony group. He asked his friend David Michael to join him in that venture, and they asked singer Tommy Muller and Peter Moles. I hope I'm pronouncing those names properly. Anyway, they were at school together to join the other group. The math is getting beyond me at this point, Earl. Okay. But anyway, they called it Unit 4. Then they were joined by somebody on guitar and somebody on drums, forming the Plus 2 part. I think it's Russ Ballard on guitar and Robert Henrett on drums. So now they've got six pieces, four-part vocal harmony, and that's... There is the story behind Unit 4 Plus 2. Aren't you glad that I described that?
Oh, yes, everybody? That's
yes,
so exciting.
I know our listeners are thrilled to know this.
It sounds like a Sesame Street math lesson.
Yes,
okay.
It does.
So the song's arrangement features acoustic guitars and a rhythm called, I'm not sure about the pronunciation on this, B-A-I-A-O, but it sounds like some sort of Latin or South American kind of word.
Latin American, yeah.
Which is a type of dance music from northeastern Brazil.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. It's got an unusual rhythm, which is kind of fun.
And makes it memorable, yes. And as far as the song title goes, it seems to have something to do with the enduring power of love. Sidewalks made of concrete and clay may tumble. It sort of reminds me of Our Love is Here to Stay, the Gershwin classic.
Right.
Because it alludes to, you know, the Rockies may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble. There's they're only made of clay, right?
Yes, it's a similar idea.
A similar idea. So here they are, concrete
all
and...
All six of them.
All six of them. Concrete and clay.
You to me are sweet as roses in the morning, and you to me are soft as summer rain at dawn. In love we share, that's something rare. The sidewalks in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble. But love will never die, because we'll see the mountains tumble before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally. That's the way, that's the way it's meant to be. All around I see the purple shades of evening, and on the ground the shadows fall, and once again you're in my arms so tenderly. The sidewalks in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble. But love will never die, because we'll see the mountains tumble before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally. That's the way, that's the way it's meant to be. Beneath my feet begins to crumble, but love will never die, because we'll see the mountains tumble before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally. That's the way it's meant to be. That's the way.
All right, that was Concrete and Clay by Unit 4 plus 2, or 2 plus 4. You're listening to The Wonderful Ones here on the Rock and Roll Cookbook on WRUU 107.5 FM. We're playing the one-hit wonders that actually are memorable. And for some of them, it's kind of a mystery as to why they didn't get more hits. Anyway, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know your favorite one-hit wonder hit and what makes it special for you. You can send us a message on the Rocking Chairs Rhythm Review Facebook page, or better yet, send a request to join the Rock and Roll Cookbook Circle Facebook group and be part of the larger conversation. Let us know what you think, because your voice helps us keep this music alive. Speaking of live music, there's always great music happening here in Savannah, and coming up this next season, the Savannah Philharmonic has announced a dynamic new concert series for spring 2021 that will be monthly indoor concerts with a masked, socially distanced audience. Will feature various ensembles of the Philharmonic at either the Metal Building at the Kehoe Ironworks downtown or Skidaway Island United Methodist Church locations. These concerts will culminate in the season finale outdoor concert of the full Philharmonic on June 27th at Trustees Garden. More information can be found at savannahphilharmonic.org. That's easy enough, savannahphilharmonic.org. We look forward to the season. Also, some other important announcements. If you own a small business and you want to get your message out to a dedicated, loyal, and active audience, make WRUU part of your company's marketing strategy. As you know, our listeners aren't just passively listening to us in the background. When your company underwrites with WRUU, you're getting their attention. And you're also supporting Savannah's only community radio station. It's an act of both self-interest and community spirit. So connect your brand with WRUU's passion and hyper-local focus by choosing an underwriting package that fits your company's budget. We have them all. Email underwriting@wruu.org for more information. If you're an individual and just want to support your local community radio station, you can also go to WRUU.org right now and make a one-time or monthly donation. And thank you so much for supporting Savannah's community radio station, 107.5 FM. All right, we're going to continue with some more, I was going to say live music. Well, we're live in the studio.
Yeah.
The music is not live. The people are not here with us, unfortunately. We'd love for some of them to be with us. But our next wonder is a British rock group called Thunderclap Newman.
Yes, Pete Townshend from The Who, and Kit Lambert started the group in 1969 to showcase the talent of John Speedy King. King was a former Who chauffeur who was also a singer, guitarist, drummer, and songwriter. The song Something in the Air became a number one hit on the British charts and is still in demand for television commercials and film soundtracks.
Interesting. The band also included Jimmy McCullough,
who for a couple of years played
Earl.
In Wings with Paul McCartney in
really?
The mid-70s.
Ah.
Yes.
I am so sorry I interrupted you, Earl.
Well,
I didn't realize you were going to throw in that little extra bit of information.
Just a little more information about Jimmy McCullough.
Cool. All right. And he did play lead guitar.
Yes.
And Andy, the Thunderclap, the one that the group is named after, Andy Thunderclap Newman, was on keyboard. And then, of course, Pete Townshend also played in the group and on this track under the stage name. I have no idea how he got this. Biju Drains. Mm. He played bass guitar on this song as well as the group's album. So let's listen to it. Something in the Air, Thunderclap Newman.
Because the revolution's here, and you know it's right.
definitely hear the Who influence in that tune. Very yep. nice. Cool. Something in the Air, Thunderclap Newman. So our next song is actually written and performed by Lee Michaels, who was born Michael Olson. The single ranked number 19 on Billboard's Year-In Hot 100 Singles of 1971. And besides being in various groups in the 1960s and 70s, Michaels was also a session musician, which is important. He considered his main instrument to be the Hammond organ. So we are going to hear his song, Do You Know What I Mean? By Lee Michaels. Say help me
yeah.
at the end. Okay, that was Lee Michaels. Do You Know What I Mean? Our next song is by Norman Greenbaum. It's about a redemption, and according to the songwriter, will speak to everyone's fear of going to hell.
Yes, the song is Spirit in the Sky, which hit number one in UK with three different acts. The first was Norman Greenbaum's version in 1970. Then in 1986 with Doctor and the Medics, who took it to number one. And finally, 2003 with Gareth Gates and the Kumars.
All right. And Greenbaum got his start with a band called Dr. West's Medicine Show and Jug Band. And they had one hit, The Eggplant That Ate Chicago, which that kind of explains why they disbanded, I guess. In 1968, the band played stone jugs, the kind you play to produce a trombone-like tone, right?
Yeah.
And the kind they used to make moonshine with?
Yeah.
Same jugs. And they also used washed washtub bass.
Okay, but this is a really good song.
It is a really good song.
And there's really a very good guitar tones on this. It's really a neat sound on the guitar.
It's very creative, yes. So let's hear it. Spirit in the Sky. Spirit in the Sky, Norman Greenbaum. And it is a cool song. True to your word, Earl, once again, you have chosen a winner. Okay, now we have a tune that just popped into the songwriter's head one day. I wish things were that easy for me. The songwriter was Ray Dorsett.
Yes, the song is In the Summertime. It was released in 1970, hit number one in the UK and number three in the US. It was also... was also the band known as Mungo Jerry's first single. The song.
I'm sorry, my script is not in your style.
Right.
for those of you who are wondering, we are not just reading from a script. However, we do have our notes because we can't remember all this information that we're dishing out
right
in our heads.
The song features some interesting instrumentation with Ray Dorsett on vocals as well as both acoustic and electric guitars and a shaker instrument called a kabasa.
Another interesting percussion
instrument.
Not
a Polish sausage.
No, not a a kabasa. So
very okay. Cool. Paul King played banjo and jug. Mike Cole played string bass. And Colin Earle played piano.
Aha.
Whoa.
Whoa. And that unidentified sound object was supposed to be a triangle, the trivia triangle, but I forgot the trivia triangle. So anyway, what that means is it's time for the Rock and Roll Cookbook Mystery Trivia Challenge of the Month. We're going to do this every month. It's a new feature on the show. So listen up. This month, the first listener with the right answer will receive a $25 gift card. We do our best here. To your favorite Savannah locally owned restaurant. Must be local and locally owned because we're here to support our community. And you must email the answer to info@rockingchairsrr.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at rockingchairsrr.com. So we have a timestamp and it's fair.
It's rocking chairs plural with an S.
Rocking chairs plural, rr.com. Again, the email address for the right answer, if you know it, is info@@ rockingchairsrr.com. Okay, now here's the question. How did Mungo Jerry get their name? And what was the band called? They actually had two names. We need both of them. Before they were Mungo Jerry. Okay, first person to answer the question will be awarded the $25 gift card to your favorite Savannah local restaurant. And each month we'll be asking a new trivia challenge to support the local businesses of our beautiful city and also to support our beautiful radio station, WRUU. So we hope you'll join us in supporting this effort. If nobody gets the right answer, however, we'll have a new trivia question next month, and the gift card rolls over to the new winner of the answer to the new question. No, it's not going to be like the lottery where it increases to a $50 or whatever. But be happy with a $25 gift card. It goes far. So send your answers in, please. You don't have to do it before the end of the show, but whoever gets the first answer, the first right answer in all of its parts, gets the $25 gift card, and you'll be doing your part to support Savannah restaurant community, which has been very hard hit by this pandemic, as well as supporting WRUU. Okay, so here we go. The what was the name of the song again?
In the Summertime.
In the Summertime, Mungo Jerry.
It's almost autumn.
Almost autumn.
You got women on your mind. what you can find.
Okay, that was Mungo Jerry, In the Summertime. Once again, the mystery trivia challenge question of the month is, how did Mungo Jerry get their name, and what was the band called? They had two names. We need both of them before they were Mungo Jerry. First person to email the answer will be awarded the $25 gift card to your favorite Savannah local restaurant. Please send the answer to info at rockingchairsrr.com. So we have a timestamp, and it's all fair. Okay, that's it. Next up, we have a song by Brownsville Station, written by their lead singer, guitarist Michael Cub Coda.
Yes, it took Coda just a half hour to write the song and an hour for the band to record it.
Okay, and the song is from their third album, a studio album called Yeah, which reached number 98 on Billboard's Hot 100. The song got to number 3, so this is Smokin' in the Boys' Room, Brownsville Station.
How you doing out there? You ever seen to have one of those days where it just seems like everybody's getting on your case, from your teacher all the way down to your best girlfriend? Well, you know, I used to have them just about all the time, but I found a way to get out of it. Let me tell you about it. Sitting in the classroom thinking it's a drag. Listening to the teacher rap just ain't my bag. Noon bells ring, you know that's my cue. I'm gonna meet the boys on floor number 2. Smoking in the boys' room. Smoking in the boys' room. Nah, teacher, don't you feel me? Up with your rules. Well, everybody knows that smoking
Jonesville Station, Smokin' in the Boys' Room. Cool. You have been listening to the Rock and Roll Cookbook, The Wonderful Ones, our homage to the one-hit wonders of rock and roll. Thank you, Earl. Thanks to our WRUU, and you, our amazing listeners. Please let us know what you think on the Rock and Roll Cookbook Circle Facebook group. That's a growing group. Thanks to you, Earl. Or you can let us know on the Rocking Chairs Rhythm Review Facebook page. Our last wonderful one today is a tune by the Family Soul singing group called Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose. One of the brothers, Eddie Cornelius, wrote the song, which reached number 2 on the Hot 100. Our next show will be Tuesday, March 2nd, 4 p.m., same time, when we will celebrate the Herstory of Rock in Roll in honor of Women's History Month, again featuring some of the lesser-known women songwriters that changed the genre in momentous and many ways. Until then, please stay safe, be kind to others, and as always, keep listening to that rock and roll music any old way you choose it. I'm Audrey Hepcat, and here's Too Late to Turn Back Now, Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose. Bye.
Everywhere, as she told me, it can break your heart out and put you in misery. Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me, and I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late. Of phoning her at least 10 times a day. You know, it's so unusual for me to carry on this way. I tell you, I can't sleep at